Hi, knitters, it's Nancy Queen, and welcome to episode 5 of the Yarn Lover Podcast.
Yarn Lover Podcast, where knitters and crocheters unwind.
Today we're chatting with Becky Gwynn, a skydiving granny from Virginia who loves to knit. That's up next.
Hi, Nancy.
So glad to have you on the podcast. I'm going to start things off with what's called a speed round. I'm going to ask you 10 questions, and they're very easy. For example, I'll ask you chocolate or vanilla, and you just pick one.
Okay.
All right. So which one would you pick on that?
Chocolate.
Okay. All right. So let's get started. It's just a fun way for everyone to get to know some fun little things about you. Books or movies?
Books.
Easy or hard projects?
There's no in between.
No, just pick one.
let's do hard.
Hard, okay. Vacuuming or dusting?
Vacuuming.
Straight or circular knitting needles?
Circular.
Drive or fly?
Drive.
Wool or alpaca?
Alpaca.
Rain or snow?
Snow.
Hand spun or hand dyed yarn?
Hand dyed.
Breakfast or brunch?
Brunch.
And one project or multiple projects?
Multiple.
So I have to kick things off. I had one question in there that was kind of loaded, and I was surprised by your answer. The question was drive or fly, and I have in here in my show notes that you actually jumped out of an airplane for your 65th birthday.
I did.
So tell us about that. That's not something we hear of every day.
Well, my son, I guess it was about 13, 14 years ago, decided that he wanted to take up skydiving. Mm-hmm. Of course, I thought he was crazy. Who jumps out of a perfectly good airplane? So he gave me, for Christmas one year, he gave me a jump. So I thought, yeah, okay, well, thank you, son, appreciate it, and he kept on, kept on. So he kept on with it. I mean, he's got almost 6,000 jumps.
Wow.
Yeah, so approaching my 65th birthday, I mean, he was jumping into NASCAR, and he was jumping into all the football games around.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
He was jumping into Bristol Speedway. He even jumped into down in Memphis when the Bass Pro Shop opened up down there, and it was a tribute, and he was one of the flying Elvises, so he had to get all dressed up like Elvis. Yeah, his helmet was actually portrayed as Elvis's hair and mutton chops, and so it was.
Oh, my gosh, that's great.
Yeah, it was. So I decided, well, what the heck? I'm just going to jump out the airplane. So that's what I did. So I said, you know, son, for my 65th birthday, I'm going to take you up on that Christmas present. So that's what I did. So I jumped tandem with him out of the airplane.
Wow, that's great. And what did you love it? Did you hate it?
Was I did.
It something you'll do again?
Yes, I'm going to do it on my 70th birthday next year.
Oh, my gosh. And yeah, what did you like the most about it?
I think it was the fact that I was with him, and I felt so relaxed, and I felt so safe. He was, I've always teased him that he was Mr. Safety, but he was. I mean, I wasn't nervous at all, and I really thought I was going to be nervous. And there was one part he said, "Now, Mom, when you get to the door of the airplane, that's when everybody balks, and that's when the accidents happen," he said, "but I'm not going to give you time." So, of course, you know, we were connected tandemly, so it wasn't that I could stop and he could go, so I had to go. So we did, he did 1, 2, 3, and out we went.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was very nice. You know, once you finally got kind of straightened out up there, I guess you say, because we tumbled out and tumbled over and over a couple of times. And then he opened up, after we free fell for a while, he opened up one parachute. And then at some altitude, he opened up the next parachute. So then it was very quiet, and we just floated along and looked at the countryside and had a great little talk, and it was wonderful.
Wow.
We just landed. Yeah, it was great.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know how to top that in our conversation. That's so exciting. And you're going to do it again.
I'm going to do it again. I decided, you know, come 70th birthday, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to put some of George Bush's socks on like he did. And I'm going out the airplane again.
Yeah. Sounds good. So when you're not jumping out of planes, what else do you like to do with your day?
Well, I work full time.
Okay. What type of work do you do?
I am a title insurance underwriter for a real estate company.
Okay.
I've been doing this since 1988.
Wow.
So I've been doing it for a really long time. So I work, and then in my spare time, I also am an avid quilter. So I quilt, I knit, and I read.
And when you quilt, do you make big quilts, or do you like small? I know there's a lot of small projects out there in the quilting world as well.
No, I do. It's mostly big quilts. For some reason, I can't get to the small quilts. Everything always ends up being bigger than I really anticipated it. We lived in Japan for a while, and I had an attraction to, I had read a book about the manhole covers there in Japan. Each one of them is decorated, and the residents there were able to pick out what they wanted on their manhole cover.
Wow.
It's kind of strange, isn't it?
So yeah.
Anyway, I did a lot of rubbings, and I came back to the States, and I did a quilt all in the Japanese fabrics, and did the Japanese indigo, and did the sashiko quilting, and it actually hung in the International Festival over in Tokyo.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
Yeah, so I do that. I do a little gardening.
And what type of gardening do you like? Vegetable gardening or flower?
Both. We have both. We have just a few vegetables. We don't have a lot. But we plant the vegetables with the flowers, so they're all sort of together.
Oh, and what kind of vegetables do you have growing?
Well, we've had tomatoes and radishes and onions and peppers this year.
Uh-huh. And what kind of flowers do you plant with those?
Well, we have some geraniums. We've got roses. We've got irises. We've got these big marigolds and some zinnias and something else. I can't think of it. Oh, some calla lilies. So they're sort of all kind of spread out.
Nice.
Yeah. So, and I've been knitting since my aunt taught me when I was 14.
Wow. So you've been knitting for quite some time.
I have. And in high school, I knitted. My aunt taught me how to make these ski sweaters. And so I knitted those in high school and even sold them.
Oh, wow.
And not too long ago, one of the girls I went to high school with, told me that she still has that ski sweater and she still wears it. And she sent me a picture of it over Facebook.
Oh, my gosh.
I could That's not great. Believe it. Yeah.
That's wonderful. So
that pattern got lost somewhere in life. And I did end up finding it not too long ago. So I found it online, and so I have it out here with some yarn. I got one more yarn to pick out, and I'm going to make myself another one. So
nice.
Yes, that was one of my favorites.
And so do you mostly knit sweaters, or what other types of projects do you knit?
No, I knit afghans, I knit sweaters, hats, socks, shawls, cowls, whatever.
And do you mostly knit for yourself or do you knit for other people now?
I knit for myself and for other people. But I try to give my daughter-in-law some knitted every Christmas. And this past year, about 3 months ago, my youngest granddaughter, who is 6, asked me to make her a bear. And I said, do you want it knitted or do you want it sewn? And she said, I want it knitted. So now I've been knitting bears. So I knitted her. So I knitted her one, and so I couldn't take that back to her without taking one for her brother. So I knitted him one, and then a friend said she wanted a bear, so now I'm knitting another bear. I don't know how I got into the bear business, but anyway. So I like starting a new project, no matter what it is. So, you know, I'll knit for a while on something, and then I get tired of it, so then I'll start another one or pick up another one. So it's an ongoing mass of unfinished projects. But every once in a while, I get several of them finished.
I think we're all like that. I'm sitting here at my desk, and I have 6 balls of yarn on my desk and 3 projects that I can see in front of me. So I get it.
I know. So, and I really like, I like to knit things that are a challenge. Something that's got, you know, a stitch variety in it, or like the changing of the colors, or the straight knitting a garter stitch or a stockinette stitch, unless it's I'm changing the yarn, I get bored with it pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to put that down. But when we're traveling, I always have a mindless project that I can take with me so I can just knit.
That's good.
Yeah. So last year we went to Alaska to visit some friends, so I knitted all the way there, all the time I was there, and then all the way back. So I just about finished a scarf.
Yeah, there's something about being in the car or on a plane where I think, okay, I now have uninterrupted knitting time. And I kind of count the hours, whereas before I would travel, I'd think, oh, it's going to be 5 hours till I get there, or 6 hours. Yeah. Now I think, I have 5 hours of solid and uninterrupted knitting time.
Exactly. And I can't get up and go away from it. And
right.
So I better have everything I need before I get there, before we leave the house.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to be really disappointed. So, yeah, I don't like to sit. My hands need to be doing something. I don't sit well. So it was funny not to, I guess it was a couple of years ago, I had one of my granddaughters over here, and I didn't know how to finger knit. But she taught me how to finger knit.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so we watched, I think it was a Star Wars movie, and she taught me how to knit, do the finger thing, and then she knitted along her own self, and she ended up with like an 8-foot scarf.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was fun, and then my son, oldest son, said to me, he said, he sent me this picture. They were in the auditorium of some child was doing some production, and his middle daughter was sitting there finger knitting. And he said, Mom, it just looks like you sitting here.
Oh, that's sweet. Now, do you think you'll teach your grandchildren how to knit with needles?
I have taught the oldest one.
Okay.
I've taught Lauren how to do that. And then Lauren is 15, and she is quite talented in her sewing.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, she creates these period dresses and coats most of the time without a pattern.
Wow.
Which is way beyond my sewing ability.
Yeah.
But I have tried to help her along with what I know, and I have been glad to pass a lot of my fabric on to her. So that was good to get some of that out of the way. And she knits, but she likes the sewing of period dresses and costumes. right now better than the knitting.
Yeah.
So, but I taught my daughter-in-law how to knit. So she, when she has time, she likes to knit. So, and I've taught people at work, you know, how to knit. So.
And you never know, your granddaughter may come around again, that she if she's into fabric and fiber, it might come around again that she picks it up and goes full throttle at some point and remembers you teaching her to knit.
Oh, I think so. I think so. I think when, you know, she gets older and I think she gets to college and she's got some time to travel or whatever, I think she'll find that. I've noticed that she has to be busy also.
Yeah.
So I think at some point she will pick it back up and go further with it. So I don't know about the other two. I don't know. I can't. Now, Sadie, who is the youngest daughter of my oldest son, she is very interested in sewing. So Warren has, we gave her a kind of an upscale sewing machine and embroidery machine. And so she gave Sadie her basic sewing machine.
So Sadie's good.
Yeah, so Sadie's, and I guess Sadie's 11 now, 10 or 11. And so she's doing some sewing. So who knows what they'll pick up and do. You know,
I think
you just
that's
never
great,
know.
Getting them involved in something that they can make with their hands is really wonderful. And just bringing out their creativity is such a great gift that you can give them.
Yes, and now Sadie went off to camp, 4-H camp this summer, and when she came back, she called me and she said, "Oh, Beck, I have a new craft to show you." And I said, "Really? What is it?" So she told me, and so I said, "Okay, I'll get the supplies, and I'll come up and you can teach me." So I did. I got the supplies, and I went up there one day, and all of us sat for about, seemed like to me, like 4 or 5 hours making these little plastic keychains and stuff.
Oh, cute.
But it was quite fascinating, and I thoroughly enjoyed doing it, and I told Sadie I'd be back and we could do it some more. So,
oh, that's great.
So, yeah, so they do. They like, you know, they do like doing with their hands and that sort of thing. So I think probably in the future, who knows what they'll actually end up doing. But I know that one day Lauren and I were in a fabric store, and she was about 12 then. And she said, "You know, Beck, I just love touching the fabric." And I thought, uh-oh.
she's got the bug.
She's got it. She's gone now. So, it's been great. I have loved being able to share what I know with them or anybody else that would like to learn how to, you know, knit or quilt or whatever.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite fiber that you like to use? If you could only knit with one yarn ever again, what would it be?
Let's see. You know, I'm terrible on remembering the names of yarn, but I really like working with a nice, soft yarn. I love the looks of the end result of the Noro yarn.
Uh-huh. Like just the self-striping yarns that change colors. Yes.
Yes. And once it's blocked, you know, soaked and blocked, it's nice and soft. But working with it, I don't find it very pleasurable, except for the fact that I love the self-striping.
Yes.
But I really do like working with something that's soft.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but sometimes if they're too soft, then the end result is that they curl on the end, and I have to be careful about what pattern I'm going to pick out to do with something that's very soft. If it's got cashmere in it, or that's, you know, it's a very soft fiber. So when we went to Alaska last year, I got some of the muskox yarn.
Oh wow, that's a pure luxury to have.
It was. I couldn't afford but 1 ounce. So I kept this little tiny ball, and I thought, oh, my goodness.
I know. I've seen the muskox skeins. They're so tiny, and they're so expensive.
Oh, they really are. But I thought, you know what? This is my last time in Alaska. I am going to treat myself to this little ball of yarn. So,
and have you knitted it yet?
I did. I made a gorgeous lace scarf. So I'm really tickled with it.
Nice.
And it is so soft, and it's so warm, and it's not scratchy, and I just love it.
And
so I was glad that...
It's in its natural color, correct?
It is. But now, I tell you, I had a hard time with that, making that decision, because they had taken the natural color, and they had dyed the yarn, some of it.
Mm-hmm.
So they had these gorgeous colors of... I can still see it. It was this gorgeous bluish purple. They had a beautiful green, and they had a really beautiful, I don't know whether it was burgundy or my terminology is like black red, but it was exquisite. And I thought, well, for my purchase, I think I would just want to stick with the natural color. Now, if I'm fortunate enough that somebody wants to give me another ounce.
We'll let everyone on the podcast know. They can, yes. Maybe you'll get some yarn sent your way.
That's right. I would go for the purple. I would like to have another ball of purple so I could make another scarf. But, I mean, I found a pattern that was very narrow so that I could get it long enough.
Yeah.
Because there's not much in that little ball.
Yeah.
But it was plenty to do it for me, so because I'm short, so it was plenty for me. But that was to see that and to feel it and to see the muskox that it actually came off of was quite an experience.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. Yeah.
Now, if we were to open your knitting bag today, is there one tool in there that you can't live without?
If you opened my knitting bag. I think I just can't live. Well, what I like the most are the interchangeable needles. Those I love more than anything. The rest of the stuff, you know, the stitch counters and stuff. I do have some great little stitch markers that I ordered a skein of yarn from somebody, I can't remember who it was now, Miss Babs,
uh-huh.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yes.
And with the ball of yarn, she sent this little package of stitch markers.
Oh, that's great.
And they were wonderful. They're little silver, thin little silver circles with a little seed bead in them. And when I look at them, that's not that they're any better than anything else, but it just gave me a real good feeling when I get to that little stitch mark, and it's so pretty.
I agree. I think that's the same thing. I love getting to my stitch markers. I have the project I'm working on at the moment. I have a little crystal bead, a Swarovski crystal on it, and it's like, I just love getting to that little bead, and then I carefully move it to the other side. And
I know.
Just enjoy it every time I get to it.
Yes, 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 I agree. But you know, one thing that I see more now, but I haven't really explored in depth finding. One of my daughter-in-laws is allergic to wool, so it's either cotton or silk that I've been able to use to do something for her.
Okay.
And I really wish that there was more selection of those types, non-wool fibers. Does that make sense?
It does. In fact, we get that question a lot, and you know what I'm going to do? Just because you've brought it up, I'm going to make sure that our website is organized with non-wool fibers. I mean, we have them organized by category, but I think I'm going to take those and organize them by non-wool, because there are beautiful fibers out there that are even nylons and acrylics have come such a long way.
Yeah, they have.
They get dyed, and they're really beautiful. And some merinos, the way they're treated, the superwash, it actually takes off the exterior that the scale part that would irritate somebody's skin, and sometimes they're even washed in a silicone bath. So you might be allergic to wool, but you might not be allergic to superwash. The fibers in alpaca tend to be different than the fibers in wool, so the allergies are not the same. And I will make a section on that. I really appreciate that feedback.
Yeah. Well, I noticed in your email, I think it was last week, and I didn't get back to order one. What do you call that crazy ball of yarn?
Oh, Zapper Ball Crazy?
Yes. And it was cotton.
Yes. We have more coming in. That yarn sold out in just a few hours. So
I bet it did.
We have more coming in. It's beautiful.
Okay, well, I'll just wait a little while. I guess you'll send an email out saying it's back in stock or something. Because I thought when I saw that, I thought, oh, that's ideal for my daughter-in-law.
Yes.
And I could make her up a nice little scarf or something or another for Christmas if I could knit fast enough.
Yeah.
And because it's cotton. Oh, okay, great. So if you're going to get some more in, I'll just wait until you get more in.
Sounds good. And we're about to wrap things up, so I thought I'd just give you an opportunity if you want to do a shout-out to any of your friends or knitting friends or a local yarn store or knitting group. Please feel free.
Well, let me see. I'll give a shout-out to my best friend in the world, and that's Debbie Childs. And I have a little story about her.
Okay.
I met her at, when we took a quilt class together many, many, many years ago, 25, 30 years ago, and we just became fast friends. And so we quilt a while, we do a lot of socializing and friendship time. And one day we were downtown on the Charlottesville Mall, and there was the yarn shops were just beginning to get in all the new yarns, which were much different. This was 18, 19 years
ago.
Gotcha,
yes.
And she said, you know what? She said, if I ever have a grandchild, I want you to teach me to knit. And I said, well, let's start now so you can know what you're doing. Well, it wasn't long after that she said, let's go to the knitting shop. So we went to the knitting shop, and she went in there, and I wasn't paying any attention to her. I thought we were just going to teach her, you know, how to knit. Well, we came out with this gorgeous yarn, and she was going to make a project for her. What I didn't know at the time was her first grandchild. So that's how she began to knit, and so she has kept right along with her knitting and her quilting. So that was a fun thing for me. To be able to share that with her so she could share it with her granddaughter.
Great. Anyone else you want to mention?
Well, let's see. The girl at our local quilt, who owns the local quilt shop, Sheila, she has Laughing Sheep Farms, Laughing Sheep Shop, Yarn Shop, and she's just fantastic, and the shop is fantastic. So a big shout out to her. And all my other quilting and yarn loving friends.
Sounds good. Okay. I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us or talk with
thank
me.
You. Oh, great. Thank you. I've really enjoyed this. This was quite an honor, really.
Me too. Well, have a great night.
And you too, Nancy. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you'd like to be a guest on the podcast, visit blog.noblenits.com and fill out the podcast sign-up form. You can listen to all of our podcasts on iTunes or on our blog. And don't forget to shop noblenits.com. Free shipping on every U.S. order.